WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Happy Thursday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. A bright and sunny day, and as you heard Christina say, it's going to be a warm day. Right now, 63 degrees, but it'll get warmer than that. Going to go up about 20 degrees over the course of the day. And just as she said, make sure you stay hydrated. So we have a lot that we can talk about today. It is Thursday, which means today will be when we have our daily edition of the Gen X Files. Today will be our first brain freeze question of the week. Every Thursday, because as you know, the Gen X Files are brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven. And every Thursday, we're going to add into that, well, actually at the end of it, we'll have our brain freeze question of the week. It's a trivia question related to some of the pop culture of the time, of the 80s and 90s, 70s, 80s, 90s. And the winner gets a porch sampler from McGraw. So we will basically just take your name down and give it to Matt and Sharon. And you'll go over there and say, hi, I'm the person that won. And they'll make you a sampler, a porch sampler. You'll get to try six different flavors or, you know, whatever mix and match combo you want to do of all the great flavors they have over there at McGraw's, located in the Lifestyles Plaza. And a few people actually messaged me yesterday because they heard the commercial running and they said, where exactly is 270 Huddleston Ave? So if you go into the Lifestyles Plaza, which is over by the Mariner soccer fields, it's where the Courtyard restaurant is, and there's a toy store and the consignment store and a few other shops there. There's a building kind of at the back of the quad, for lack of a better term, the grassy area in the middle between the shops. There's the building at the back. That's where McGraw's is. And it's really cool inside. It feels like, you know, they've created an atmosphere like you're sitting out on the back porch, even though you're indoors. So if it's raining, you can still go there and get ice cream. And it's just a really cool, relaxed place. You can bring your laptop and do work if you need to. You can bring the whole family. There's plenty of seats. So check them out. But we'll have the brain freeze question of the week later on this morning. And somebody's going to get a porch sampler for free. So, of course, the sad news yesterday on the passing of Brian Wilson. One of the true musical geniuses of our time. And I know people tend to throw that word around, or maybe that phrase around, musical genius. And a lot of times people utilize that term for somebody who does great work in the realm of music. But I would say that Brian Wilson stands above a lot of those because of the way that he heard music and then changed it to the sound that was in his head and had such an influence over the entire genre, and I shouldn't even say genre, like all of popular music. The way that he meticulously crafted, you know, obviously, I mean, people look at some of their early work and they say, you know, how did it get to the point where they went from, you know, fun and Surfing USA to Good Vibrations and Wouldn't It Be Nice, and God Only Knows. Well, I think a lot of that was kind of already there, but you got to have commercial success to have artistic exploration. It was no different with the Beatles. You know, once they had conquered the charts and were in a position to say, we can do whatever we want with our next album. And it's not just a matter of getting the record label to believe in you, but it's getting the fans to follow you on that journey. And by the way, there would be no Beatles taking their artistic turn if not for Brian Wilson, because it was Pet Sounds that inspired what the Beatles were doing. So to me, he's not a composer of popular music in the vein of Lennon, McCartney, or even in the vein of, you know, Gershwin or Cole Porter or any of them. He's more of a Beethoven. He's more of a person who created entire symphonies. They just happen to be in the form of these 3.5 minute pop songs. And what I've always found interesting about the interviews and documentaries that I've watched about him is the sign of a true genius, he couldn't translate that for you. He couldn't explain to you why that was. It just existed within him, and he had to get it out. Although he was a very entertaining interview, I thought. There's a couple of memes going around that show kind of his intelligence, his wittiness, but also kind of his quirkiness as well. There's one going around about he was being interviewed in the early 2000s, and they said, you know, what are some of the movies that you like? And he says, well, you know, I haven't watched a lot of movies. The last one that I saw that I can remember was like a couple of years ago. And what was it? Well, it was Norbit with Eddie Murphy, which is, by the way, not, you know, one of the critically and universally beloved Eddie Murphy movies. Most people pan the film. But they say, he's like, yeah, Norbit by Eddie Murphy. Like, okay, well, what's your favorite movie? And he says, Norbit. Like, because he just didn't have the bandwidth to really worry about something like that. And then there's different versions. This is a legend that's been going around for a long time, and there's different versions of it. So apparently, again, there's different versions, so I'm just going to tell like the most popular version that's going around on the internet. I know Carney Wilson tells it a little bit different, but supposedly Don Henley got the chance to meet Brian Wilson, and he brought his copy of Pet Sounds, his Pet Sounds album, to have him sign it, and they had a nice conversation about music, and Brian Wilson took Don Henley's Pet Sounds album, and he signed it, you know, to Don, thank you for all the great music. And then Don Henley starts walking away, and Brian says, hold on, come back. And then he takes the record and he crosses out great and he writes good. Now, the way that Carney Wilson tells it is it was more akin to he told Don Henley that the Beatles were a great band, that the Eagles were a great band, rather, and then called him back and said, no, hold on. The Eagles are a good band. The Beatles were a great band. So, you know, again, different versions of the story, but there's got to be some truth in there some way, one way or the other. And I think a lot of folks around here probably got the chance to see him when he played at the Zyterian, when he finally brought out Smile after years of sitting on it. And so we were very lucky to have him come to New Bedford. So I've seen the Beach Boys a number of times. Honestly, I can't remember if any of those times are one of the few occasions that he was actually out with the group because, you know, he did not want to tour. But he is solely responsible for a lot of what you hear in pop music today. And I dare say, without some of the work that he was doing, you know, people were saying, oh, rock and roll is a fad. It's not going to last. That might have been true. because music changed when he changed it. So listen to some Beach Boys. Listen to some Brian Wilson recordings. There's been a number of documentary films made, a number of fictional films. You know, there's a film, Love and Mercy, that kind of deals with his... That's the word I'm looking for, a nervous breakdown. So you just got to appreciate the music that he gave us and celebrate the life that he had. And it wasn't easy for him, but hopefully now he's finally at peace. So we can take your thoughts on Brian Wilson if you'd like. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemail on the WBSM app. We're also going to talk about something that Sketty brought to my attention. She called the radio station yesterday, called the business line, and shared with us that there were some guys that were in the parking lot of where Vicente Supermarket is and the family, the Dollar Tree. What's that, Mount Pleasant? Right? No? I don't know. Think so. Not sure exactly where one street starts and the other one ends. But anyway, she said that these guys were standing out there in turquoise shirts, all had the same shirt on, matching shirts, and that they were offering people gifts for being Eversource customers. That you just had to prove to them that you were an Eversource customer, and they would give you, she said they had like TVs and things like that. I did not get a chance to go over there and see what was going on. She asked them how late they would be there, and they said they would be there till 8. I didn't leave here last night till almost 7, and I just went right home. Actually, no, I had to go to Walmart first, and then I went right home. So I didn't get a chance to get over there, but I did get a chance to reach out to Eversource. I sent them an email, and I let them know, you know, what was told to me. And now I can't find the email response, but I will find it and I will read it. Oh, you know what? It's in the other email account. Here we go. So this comes from Eversource spokesperson Caitlin Woods, who says, they are not representatives of Eversource. Our employees and contractors always carry company-issued photo identification and will provide it when asked. Customers should never provide personal, financial, or account information to any unsolicited person, even if they seem legitimate. And if you suspect someone is attempting to scam you or you're unsure about someone claiming to represent Eversource, call them immediately, 800-592-2000. So if anybody gave them your information, follow up with Eversource and just let them know that you did, because they are not representatives of Eversource. You know, I was talking with Sketty. I was like, they could be one of these third-party companies that's trying to get you to switch over or something. You know, one of these, we can help lower your bill kind of people. It could also just be a scam. I don't know. I don't know for sure. All I can tell you is they are not with Eversource. All right, we're going to take a break here, our first break in the morning, 508-996-0500. We will be right back. The sweet breeze blow has a cup. And welcome back, and we're going to be going into the news in just a moment with Mike Roberts, but also later on this morning, we will be connecting with Kelly from Stevie's Wine and Spirits to find out about everything they have going on tomorrow for their big anniversary celebration. As I've been mentioning, they're going to have some giveaways. They're going to have, of course, sampling. Stephanie Burke's going to be there offering tarot card readings. It's going to be a fun time tomorrow from 4 to 6 at Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. But Kelly's going to join us later on to give us more details about what we can expect and what we're going to be able to sample tomorrow. So, all right, let's go into the newsroom now and get all of the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts.
ICE operations will continue in Los Angeles, a Snapchat rapist in New York, and do you remember Chewy the Raccoon?
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The Department of Homeland Security says immigration operations will continue in Los Angeles.
Assistant DHS Secretary Tricia McLaughlin tells Fox News that in spite of attempts to stop the operations and claims of innocent people being swept up by ICE agents, bad guys are off the streets.
Child rapists, child molesters, murderers, convicted arsonists, truly the worst of the worst on the streets. But my message to Mayor Bass and to Governor Newsom and these riders that they back is that ICE will not be deterred.
While it's unclear how long these operations will last, reports are at least 30 days from the first day on June 6th. I'm Jim Roop.
The Justice Department will allow President Trump to abolish national monuments that were protected from energy development by past presidents. The department issued a legal opinion permitting Trump to shrink or eliminate national monuments, which can overturn a 1938 opinion saying that presidents did not have the power to abolish them. A New York man is accused of using social media to prey on young boys from Smithtown, New York. Natalie Migliori has more.
Prosecutors say 18-year-old Bradley Sciopa got added to a Snapchat group with several 11-year-old boys earlier this year. The boys thought Sciopa was their age until they met up with him in person, allowing him to drive them around in his car and buy them snacks. Sciopa is accused of sexually abusing two of the boys, with investigators saying he framed the abuse as a prank or a dare the victims would be paid for. He's charged with 3 counts of rape, 2 counts of sexual abuse, and endangering the welfare of a child.
The director of national intelligence says the Trump administration used artificial intelligence in the continued classification of the JFK files. According to Tulsi Gabbard, the agency fed tens of thousands of pages of material into AI systems ahead of their declassification to speed up the process. The release of the remaining JFK assassination files built upon an executive order signed by President Trump in January, which ordered the declassification of JFK, RFK, and MLK assassination files. The legendary Brian Wilson, founder of the Beach Boys, has passed away.
Wilson is considered one of the most innovative songwriters of the 20th century, credited with creating the California sound. The Beach Boys, which included his two younger brothers, Dennis and Carl Wilson, cousin Mike Love, and friend Al Jardine, was formed in 1961. The album Pet Sounds is considered the peak of the band's success, considered a masterpiece by many. It was influenced by Wilson's battle with mental health issues and drug use, which affected him for much of his life. In 1988, Wilson and the Beach Boys were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Wilson was 82. Kristen Marks, NBC News Radio.
The saga of Chewy the Raccoon continues.
Chewy made national headlines last month after his owner was arrested during a traffic stop in Akron, Ohio. Chewy was found sitting in the driver's seat with a meth pipe in his mouth and was later released into the custody of his owner's father. Officials are reportedly working with Chewy's owner to determine what's next for the raccoon, but in an interview this week, the owner said she had no plans to surrender the animal. I'm Michael Kastner.
WBSM Sports.
The Red Sox beat the Rays 4-3 last night. Sox are off tonight, hosting the Yankees tomorrow night at 7:10.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Another warm start to the day here along the South Coast. Temperatures on either side of 65 degrees this morning, and we start off with some sunshine. Not too bad, but if you like it warm, just wait till the afternoon. The 60s, that's just the start. High temperatures right along the coast today, going to be in the low 80s, right around 80 degrees even. And then as you head inland, you're going to get up into the mid 80s, even a few spots in the upper 80s today. Yeah, it's a toasty one with the sunshine especially still around in the afternoon. It'll feel a lot more like summer. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schell Hoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts. WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle word on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm backing up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
And that's not a pop song. That is a symphony. And if you've ever seen anything on the making of that song or any of the kind of dramatized stories of the Beach Boys, I know there's been a couple of different projects like that. The process that went into creating that, the months and months that went into creating that one song and all the various layers. Brian Wilson was inspired by the Phil Spector Wall of Sound and wanted to take that to another level. And if you get a copy of that, you know, if you find that on YouTube and like Dolby Atmos sound and you listen to it with a pair of good headphones, you can hear how much went into the crafting of that. And on a good, it's almost like some of the work that he did was undercut by the fact that, you know, they're putting out these albums in mono back then. But see, that makes it an even more impressive feat to be able to have all of these things stand out in the mono format. But you listen to, you know, a remastered version of that and you hear every little sound that was in it and you realize there's nothing wasted. There's nothing that doesn't contribute to the overall sound. And everything is an instrument in the music, including the voices. It's a fascinating construction of a song. Like I said, it's more akin to a symphony than it is a pop song. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
I heard a story that Brian Wilson was so inspired by one of the Beatles albums. He had worked about a year and a half on this album he was doing. And the Beatles came out with their next album. And that he was so blown away by it and so disappointed by what he had put together that he totally destroyed everything he had and felt so inadequate from it, which is so hard to believe because he was so talented. Have you ever heard that story before?
Yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, his mental health struggles getting the better of him, because I can't imagine, you know, if you were thinking from a sales perspective, right? You're thinking to yourself, well, even the worst Brian Wilson project is going to sell, you know, and it'll put money in my pocket. But that wasn't what he looked at it as. He looked at it as that competitive, creative.
He's a perfectionist.
But not just that. It was, like you mentioned, that kind of that one-upsmanship, but in a friendly way, a friendly rivalry.
Yeah. And perfectionists have a tendency to look at their own work compared to everybody else's and put it sometimes, you know, never be satisfied, or at least never be happy with what they put together. And that was, when I heard that, that was like such a disappointment, because he to have that shared with everybody, that music he put out that was supposedly destroyed. I mean, that would have been beautiful. It would have been nice to have. That's for sure. I'm sure it was quality stuff.
Yeah, I mean, look at how long he sat on Smile for. I mean, it was, this is a guy who, you know, let his insecurities get the better of him at times when, you know, all the stuff that the worst song he ever wrote is better than the best song most people could ever write.
Absolutely. And they had their own, it was amazing because everything that came from England, there was a British invasion, a lot of it sounded, it was all great stuff, but a lot of it was hard to separate.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it sounded the same. But they had their own sound. It was unique, and nobody liked it before then, and no one liked it since then. And also something I remember reading that they were, the Love Brothers were cousins of his, right, that were in the band?
Yes, right? Mike Love was his cousin,
Okay, and that the family fighting between them, I think a lot had to do with his father, was so bad that they had horrible fights, and they had to stay 30 feet apart on stage from each other at times. And, man, what a horrible existence that must have been, because they all started off as good friends, too, and I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure that Brian Wilson wasn't easy to deal with, especially, again, with his mental health issues, but Mike Love is not a great person.
No, right. And I don't think Brian Wilson's dad was a great guy either, for that much. Yeah, you know?
Right.
He wasn't a good man either. But and it's too bad, because in the center of all of that was this great artistry, and I think they all started off as choir boys, maybe, or in a worship team or gospel music of some sort. Am I right?
I believe so. Yeah. And when you've got, so first of all, I mean, as we've learned over time, like when it comes to harmonies, families are always able to harmonize so well, you know, if they're musically inclined. But that just went to show that you can take it to another level, because you had what, five guys singing at most, and you could have told me there was 50 guys in singing, and I would have believed it.
Absolutely. And the other story is Sly Stone died too, and mm-hmm. he was phenomenal. I mean, he was so underrated, I think, and he could write, he could sing, he could do everything, and it's just too bad. You know, drugs got a hold of him, and they took him down, and it was too bad. Incredible talent, just overlooked a lot too, because he was, I think it was short lived how long he was actually writing and performing, and it's too bad. But boy, what a talent he was as well.
Absolutely. And,
that's my story, and I'll stick it to it. Keep up the good work, Tim.
Right. You have a good day. And especially with Sly Stone, I mean, that was another case where, you know, a lot of his music later on became commercialized. That's probably not the best term. Actually, used in commercials is what I'm trying to say. And so a lot of people, that's what they know. I remember Everyday People was in a series of car commercial ads. There used to be this little dancing flower that you used to be able to buy back in the early 90s. And it was, you know, dance to the music. It was this stupid flower would dance around and like lip sync. It became commercialized. So I think people got used to hearing it, and it was like, oh, this is just, you know, a good fun party song. But it was deeper than that. You know, there was a message to that music. And I think a lot of people tend to crap on current music, and myself included. You know, I can be guilty of that. But a lot of these artists that are out there now are acutely aware of some of these legends and what they've done. So this isn't a matter of, you know, they're paying homage to them because they just recognize their name from, you know, being in the record store. This is, they are true fans of their music. I mean, look at how much every young female performer feels about Stevie Nicks. And it's not just, you know, they know the Fleetwood Mac songs, like they know her entire catalog. The other day they had the Governor's Ball concert in New York, and Olivia Rodrigo brought out David Byrne, and they performed Burning Down the House together, complete with a fun dance routine. And people were immediately slamming her and saying, oh, look, you know, she's trying to be relevant to an older audience. Oh, look. And they were more concerned about the outfit she had on than about the fact that she just brought a musical legend onto the stage and gave him a spotlight to a younger generation that might know the music because they hear it on the radio, but they don't know who David Byrne is as a person. Then they see him come out and do his crazy dancing and all that, and they're like, oh, who is this guy? And of course, it is promotional. He has a new album coming out and he's going on tour. But it introduces that audience, who is a loyal audience. That's the other thing, too, is the fans of people like Taylor Swift, Olivia Rodrigo, Sabrina Carpenter, all these new stars that are coming out, or, you know, have been dominating the charts for the last decade or so. They don't just listen to their favorite artists. They don't just listen to the people who are the contemporaries of their favorite artists. They listen to the influences. I saw Carole King said one time that she had more kind of new fans because of Taylor Swift than she ever had. And that's just from Taylor Swift talking about Carole King. So, you know, I think you're at a point where some of these musical legends, for example, a Sly Stone, you know, of course, Questlove was out talking about his passing from the Roots. And there's a younger generation that looks to Questlove as one of the wise sages of music these days. And so they're going to go out and they're going to listen to his music because of it. So, I know I can be the cranky old guy sometimes when it comes to complaining, oh, these kids and their music, but they're doing good stuff. A lot of it does sound the same to me, though, I have to admit. And I think it's funny because there's a reason for that. Your hearing does change as you get older. And what you can hear in certain frequencies changes. And so if you're only able to tune into certain frequencies, it's going to sound like it's the same. It's pretty interesting stuff. That's why your phone, these smartphones now have an option to, it asks you when you're setting your audio settings, what age group you're in, because it customizes the sound playback for what frequencies you will hear. Anyway, I've got to take a break. We'll be back in a few moments. 508-996-0500. All right, let's go back to the phones. 508-996-0500. You are next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Good, good. Little sleepyhead. I stayed up late last night. I couldn't go to sleep. And I actually slept till 5 o'clock this morning. So, but anyways, yeah, so you didn't get a chance to go over there. I don't blame you. I mean, you work so hard. You're a working machine.
Yeah, I was trying to wrap up a bunch of stuff and still didn't do everything I meant to do. But at least we got an answer from Eversource. They are not with them.
Yeah. Well, you know, at least I'm smart enough not to give my information away. And who's carrying, first of all, who carries their electric bill with them, right?
Right. Well, I mean, a lot of people can just access it in their email. So I get my bill emailed to me every month so I can pull it right up on my phone.
Oh, yeah. No, I go and pay cash. As a matter of fact, I just paid off my winter and summer. I took $1,000 out of my savings. And I went and paid that off. It was basically $900 between the two for 5 months. I just didn't want to pay it. I don't know why. I just felt like something miracle was going to happen for me. But yeah, so I went and paid that. But yeah, I do everything cash. I pay it at Walmart. But yeah, so I just hope nobody fell prey for that. And who knows what kind of scam they have. And what other electric companies are there out there? I mean, I have Constellation, a part of that, which I don't even know how that's going to relate to the smart meters. You know, like, so that's a whole nother world. And I got a great story about that. I'm waiting for Brian for when he comes back because he always has that guy on.
Brian will be back the 23rd.
23rd, yeah. I know. That seems like forever when he told me. But yeah, so I was thinking like on a Saturday, that would be a great story for him to and get that guy back on his show and talk about it. But yeah, so I hope nobody fell for that.
Let me ask you this. So you were there for a little bit. Did you see anybody actually walk away with any of the items they were giving away?
No.
Right.
I didn't. But I did see. Well, here's the funny thing, Tim. When I parked, because I parked kind of near them, I was only like 3 cars away. And I saw one out of the 4 walk away, and he was going to towards the Boost mobile phone store. Because I'm thinking, well, maybe the little restaurant, right? That's there too, next to the Boost. So, and then when I got done with my shopping and came out of Vicente's, and for everybody, if you don't know where that is, it's the old Savers. It's the old Savers grocery store. So when I came out of Vincente's, I saw him coming back, and he didn't have anything in his hands. And I thought, okay, so then he went into the Boost mobile phone. I don't know. I just thought it was strange. And they, you know, like I said, they were just sitting in the back of the truck sitting down, but they had this stand-like, lemonade-like looking stand. They had all kinds of stuff. Looked like a karaoke machine, you know, some kind of music jukebox wall kind of thing. They had quite a few things. But I didn't see anybody walk away with nothing, so
yep.
That's a
sign right there, because if all you had to do was show them you're an Eversource customer, most people are. So somebody would have been able to show them something.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just hope, I just feel bad for people. Some people just fall crazy.
I mean, it could have also been, you know, maybe a solar company that was trying to talk people into switching over to solar. And if you set up an appointment, they'll give you one of these things if you sign up for a solar system. You know, it could be something that is legitimate, but it's not right. Eversource.
Right.
Yeah, but if they were representing themselves as representatives of Eversource, then they're committing fraud.
Right. And they didn't do that either. They were just like, if you can prove you're an Eversource customer, you can have anything you want for free. Well, nothing comes for free, like we all know.
Right. I settled just for them to pay my electric bill. I got about 1 minute before I got to take a break. So
I went to the butcher shop. And I got a beef shank. It's an inch and a half thick for only $7 and change.
Wow.
$5.99 a pound. And it's fresh. Oh, my God. It's so red. It's a beautiful color. I got it at room temperature right now. I'm going to cook it today. I'm so excited. And it's a big piece for only $7 and change. People really need to go to the butcher shop.
Absolutely. And it'll be flavor like you'd never get at a supermarket.
And you owe him that mustard and that blueberry wine that you called on that Friday and told him about. And then last Friday, you told him about the mustard. So he's calling you out. I have to call you out and tell you, when I see you tomorrow, you can bring, if you remember, bring your mustard and then I'll bring
it. Well, I'm trying to talk with the winery to see if they want to bring some stuff over to the butcher shop and see if they want to carry it.
Hey, now that's a way to go.
Connecting good people. That's what I try to do.
Yes. Well, I'm going to buy it tomorrow when I see you because I want to get some tips, sirloin tips, and I'm going to try to cook it.
I don't know if they'll have the sauce because that's not something Stevie's carries yet, so they can't bring things that Stevie's doesn't carry yet. But,
okay.
You know, we can figure something out. Sometime when I go over to the winery, I can probably grab you a bottle.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll head to Plymouth just to go there just to get it.
That's a good idea. I got to hold you there, though. I got to take a break.
Wait. Thank you. Have a good day.
You as well. Let me get this one in. We'll be back in a few moments. All right. That is going to do it for this hour.